After last week, it is very good to be here. I'm going to start farther back, though, if that's okay. Since we were here last, we've been in, I don't know, somebody asked me earlier, and I think probably 40 or 50 churches since we were last here, just trying to raise support. Back in December, my brother Doug, you guys know Doug, he called me and said, what are you doing for Christmas? And we didn't have any plans. We were just going to, I don't remember where we were, Arizona maybe, just hang out. And he said, why don't you come up to Colorado? I can't get away, but if you could come up, my pastor said he could have a few days off. And so we said, sure, we could do that. We didn't have a meeting. Holidays are hard to get meetings around. So the Sunday after Christmas, we didn't have a meeting. And in fact, we'll be here on Easter Sunday as well. So we went up to Doug's and for Christmas. And we rented a car because it was, I don't know if you know, but he's in Colorado, and unfortunately it's cold there, and they have this white stuff that comes down from the sky. It's called snow, I believe, and we actually had a white Christmas. It snowed on Christmas Day, and so we rented a car to not take our motorhome up there, and on the way home, we stopped at a motel in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Stopped at a hotel there, and woke up the next morning, and I went out to the car to get something or put something in it, I can't remember, and I noticed there were a few things missing. And then I looked around and noticed there were a lot of things missing. And somebody had gotten into the car and stolen, it was on the way home. So we had already opened all the Christmas gifts, so they stole all of my boys' Christmas gifts. They stole all of the electronics that they travel with. They stole, we only took one of our suitcases of clothes in, so they stole my suitcase of clothes and my boys' suitcase of clothes. And Christy was wishing they would have stole her so she could get a new wardrobe also. But they stole everything. And we didn't tell anybody except for our family members. I didn't even call Brother Keith, just our family, and I assumed insurance would take care of it, but they didn't. But within just a few hours, a pastor friend of ours called us. He said, I just talked to your brother, and he said, how you doing? I said, I'm good. He said, I just talked to your brother. I know what happened. I said, oh, we're good. And he said, what can we do to help? And so his church took up a love offering, and then Christy's grandparents' church took up a love offering, and another church that Christy's dad used to pastor. I don't know how they all found out about it, but they all took up love offerings, and we were able to replace everything that we had lost. I know you're not supposed to brag a lot, but I'm going to brag on my boys here for a minute. They lost all their Christmas gifts, all their electronics that they travel with, their clothes, and they didn't complain one time, not one time. In fact, my oldest one said, you know, I guess God's just going to provide for us. He's going to take care of it. And Sam said they had their Kindles that they travel with are kind of older, and they weren't charging very well. He said, I guess that means we're getting better Kindles. And they just knew that God was going to provide for them. And so I'm very thankful to have boys that understand that. And that's only because God's provided in the past. We've watched him provide in the past. And so everything was replaced. And so that was exciting. And then we went a couple months without too many incidents, and then this last week we actually stayed. We were at a missions conference in California, I guess 2 weeks ago now. Started on Sunday and ended, so it started 2 weeks ago and it ended on Wednesday. And the pastor found out we like basketball, so he said, if you can stay around until Friday, so that would have been this past Friday, we'll send, not this past, a week and a couple days ago, I'll send you guys to the Lakers game. And so we said, okay, we'll stay around a couple days. It's a Lakers game, right? And so we stayed around for a couple days, not realizing what that would do with storms that we didn't know were coming. And so we knew we still had enough time to make it, and we came around Saturday. We traveled a long way Saturday, and we traveled on Sunday. We traveled before church and then between churches, and then we stayed in El Paso the night, El Paso, Texas. And my aunt, who we were supposed to meet for lunch the next day, my aunt and my uncles, but my aunt sent us a message that, have you seen these storms that are coming in Texas? And we looked at it, and there's tornado and hail, tornado warnings and hail. And so we had decided we did not want to travel in that. So we stayed around another day in El Paso and thought we'll come behind the storm. And as it goes east, we'll go east. And that was a good plan, except for the fact of the storm coming after it was flooding. And so we were coming after it. Everything was going good. We made it through Texas, no problem, which is, if you've ever driven through Texas, you know if you make it through Texas, no problem. That's a good deal. It's a huge state. So we came across into Louisiana, and it was raining, and our phone kept going off. I don't know if it was every county or every mile. I have no idea, but it just kept going off. Flash flood warning, flash flood warning. They send you the emergency alerts, you know, and we just kept getting emergency alert after another. And I-20 that we were driving on was blocked. Part of it had got washed away, and so we decided to follow all the semi-trucks and go around. And so we went around, and we came into this small town of Minden, and there was a puddle, or it might have been a lake, I don't know, but it was probably was bigger than a puddle, but it was pretty long, probably longer than the church. But the semi-trucks were going through it, and the cars were going through it, no problems. So I thought, we're in the middle, we'll have no problems, and I was going through right behind them, and then water got in something, I don't know, and that it wasn't supposed to, and we stalled out right in the middle. And I'm not sure, but it felt like the motorhome was floating there for a second, and then it came to a stop. And we got out and talked to the guy behind us. He was just in a pickup truck, and I said, would you give us a ride somewhere, anywhere out of the water, so we don't have to stay in the water? And he said, yeah, I'll give you a ride to the gas station up there. And he got through no problem. I'm not sure why we were the only ones that stalled out in there, but he got through, got us to the gas station in the middle of nowhere. He was just going to leave us there, and that was fine because we weren't in the water, so we were happy, but we didn't know what we were going to do next. And there was two police officers there. And I said, what are you guys doing here? After talking to him for a minute and telling him what happened, he said, oh, we just stopped by to pick up this pizza. They stopped by to pick up the pizza, and they happened to be there when we were there. And if you believe in happened, I believe God was protecting us, right? So he gave us a ride to the hotel and told me which tow company to call and things like that. We got to the hotel and they said, we're full. We said, do you know anything about the other ones? They said, everybody's full. There's a couple churches that have set up a shelter in their gym. If you want to go stay at the shelter, you can do that. And so police officer took us to the shelter. This was, I don't even know what night it was. Everything's run together, and you know, you guys all lost an hour last night, but we drove from California, so we lost 4 hours this week. So if I say something up here tonight, I don't blame it on me. So what night was that? That was Wednesday night. We stayed at the shelter at the First Baptist Church there, and I got a hold of the tow company. They said it's going to be a while, and I didn't even know if it was going to be that night or later the next morning. I had no idea, and so there we were stranded in Minden, Louisiana, and a bunch of nice people. But I went to Walmart because we had to get some clothes because we were all wet from wading through the puddle. So I went to Walmart with somebody that was already going from the church, and came back. And about 5 minutes after I got back, the police officer came back. The one that dropped us off came back. He was looking for me. He said, "Hey, I think I got you a tow truck." I said, "Great." And he said, "Come on, we got to go now." So I left again, and I, to be honest, felt a little bad about leaving my family at the shelter this whole time. But I felt better because it was at a church, and everybody was very kind and things like that. But I took off, and we got to that same gas station, and there was some railroad workers there, and the railroad had washed out on the other side, and they couldn't get through because my RV was blocking it. And they said, "We got to get your RV out, so we moved you up. You're high priority now." And so they moved us up, and about 2 minutes after waiting at the gas station, the railroad workers got a call, and they said, "Never mind, we're going around." So they went around and went a different way, and just a few minutes later, a tow truck came and towed us out, and the RV started, and we drove. We had to be here yet Friday at noon was our interview with the board, and so that was Wednesday night. So we drove all day Thursday, and we got about 2 hours away, and it had gotten dark, and our lights went out. Our headlights went out. I think some water must have got into them or something. So we came up over this hill on a back road, no lights. Came up over a hill, and there was a church there, and they were having choir practice on Thursday night. And I pulled in. I said, "Can we stay the night here?" And they said, "You seem like a nice guy." I don't know. Luckily, I had my Calvary Baptist Church shirt on from a friend of mine's church, and they said, "Yeah, you can stay here for the night." So we parked in the corner of their driveway, the parking lot there, and came in on Friday morning. I think we got here about 11:30, and had the interview. I have no idea what I said, so apparently they accepted us, so apparently it was okay. But we were and still are pretty tired, but all that to be said, it's pretty neat to watch God work. You can get upset about those things, about losing a few gifts or a few electronics or we didn't know if we were going to lose the RV or if we were going to be able to get it towed out. We had no idea what was going to happen. And you can get upset about those things, or you can just sit back and watch God work. And the fact that the police officers happened to be at the gas station, right, at the right time, and that the railroad company needed us to move our RV, and then 2 minutes after we got there, they no longer needed us to, and yet they moved it anyway. Just to watch God work, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to be a missionary. It's very exciting. Scary sometimes, yes, when your RV's floating. It might be a little scary, but it's very exciting. And but all that being said, we do need your prayers. And I know you guys pray for us, and we know you guys love us, but we do need you guys to pray for us. I'll be a little selfish about it. If you pray for us daily, that would be awesome. It's just, you never know what you're going to encounter. We're going to Tennessee next week. We don't know what's going to happen, right? And the next week we head down to Florida. We don't know what we're going to encounter on the road, if it be hail or tornadoes or somebody stealing something or a flood. We have no idea, but it's always good to know that you have people praying for you. And so we thank you guys for your prayers. I don't know, exciting being a missionary, I guess. So we really enjoy it. Thankful to be missionaries again. As you know our story, we were in Mexico for 8.5 years, and then we weren't missionaries for 1.5 years. We're excited to do it again, and excited to go out of Pine Bluff Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Keith, for being our pastor. Thank you guys for being our church. I know that's a little bit of responsibility on you guys, and so we thank you guys very much. Maybe a lot. I don't know all what goes into it, but we thank you guys very much for allowing us to be a part of this church again, and we do love you guys, and it's good to be home, whether you call me a guest speaker or not. So turn with me this evening to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. Had a few people tell me they were going to fall asleep tonight, and I said, that's fine as long as I'm allowed to. And we won't be long tonight. I don't intend on being long, but just because I don't intend on it doesn't mean I won't be, but I don't intend on it, just so you know. 1 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 29. Let me give you one more update before we start. Because a few people have asked when we plan on getting to the field. So we actually have 15% of our support coming in already, and with the promised, people that we are pretty sure are going to take us on, we'll be a little over 25%. And they say it's real slow going up to 50%. Once you hit 50%, then all those people start taking you on because they realize you're getting closer to the field. So they take you on. Our goal is, the average is 4 years of deputation now. That's the average that the missions board say is 4 years. We are planning on going next April, which would be 20 months of deputation. So pray for us. Pray that God will allow us to get there quickly. There's no church there. So it's not like in Mexico where we were, there's three churches in that town. They could go somewhere else. But where we're going in Spain, in Tarragona, there's no churches that they could just wander into and get saved. And so we got to get over there quickly. So just pray for us. But that's where we're at. We're shooting for next April. And so I think, did I miss anything, babe? All right, 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4, we'll start in verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. And he goes on to list a few men. But what do you guys think as a missionary, or maybe even just as a Christian, wouldn't you like to just have some of that wisdom that Solomon had, right? Some of you might think you have some. I don't know. I don't think I have much for sure. But I would love, as a missionary, to have some wisdom, to have some discernment, right? And to be able to just be a better missionary, to be a better Christian, to be a better father, to be a better husband. You guys agree with me? It'd be good to have some wisdom. It's going to take a little participation tonight. I'm sorry. I know you guys are tired. But as long as you stay with me, we'll go quicker, all right? If not, I got to keep repeating myself. Make sure you're with me. But so great wisdom. I would love to have some great wisdom, and I think we could all say that. Look at another thing I think we'd all love to have, Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We'll look at verse 22. Another thing I think I would love to have as a missionary, just as a Christian, would be great as well. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Great faith, right? Faith to move mountains. We all hear about it. Faith to move mountains. I feel like as a missionary, it takes a lot of faith sometimes. It takes faith to drive stupidly into a lake or a puddle or whatever it is, right? It takes a lot of faith sometimes to be a missionary to go to another country. But I even being a missionary, I've never had enough faith to move a mountain, right? I lack in this area. And driving in a motorhome, sometimes it would be nice to be able to move a mountain because you get up to like 40 miles an hour. You know, it slows you down. It'd be nice to say, hey, mountain, watch out, right? But I've never had that kind of faith. I could learn some lessons from my children, right? My son, Sam, he at the beginning, I don't think he was so sold on Spain. I said, that's what God wants us to do. That's where he wants us to go. And he said, well, what if we reach all of Spain, which is 46 million people? What if we reach all of Spain, then we can go somewhere else? And I said, if we reach all of Spain, we'll go somewhere else. And that's a good plan. So wouldn't it be great, though, to have that kind of faith as a Christian, to be able to move mountains? And I don't know about you guys, but I say I believe that that's possible, but then I don't act like it, right? I don't really have that kind of faith. And so great wisdom, faith to move mountains. I want to look at another thing, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. For sake of time, we're going to move down to verse 33, Luke chapter 10, verse 33. And this is the story of the Good Samaritan. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, I think I would love to have the ability to help those in need, right? We started an orphanage in Mexico. You know that every week we turned away another kid? At least one a week we turned away kids. If we could just have more money, we could just build more buildings and hired more workers, and we could help more people. I think that would be great. I would have loved to have done that. And I hope all of us would have that kind of giving attitude. I know sometimes we see somebody in a corner and we think, go get a job or whatever, but... I would love to be able to help those people that are truly in need, right? Nicole and Brock were here this morning, and they had 2 babies with them. You saw the twins, right? they had 2 babies. Why? They're doing that to help people in need. Wouldn't it be great to have the ability to help people in need? I would love to do that as a Christian, as a person, as a human being, as a missionary. So we see great wisdom. We see faith to move mountains. We see giving to the poor, being able to help take care of the needy. And I want to look at one more thing here that I think would be great, a great testimony here. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. We'll go ahead and start in verse 59. Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't have a death wish, okay? I have no desire to go out and be a martyr for God tomorrow. But I think maybe in about 100 years or so, when I got put to the test, maybe I'd be willing to die for the cause of Christ, right? That would be a great testimony to Stephen. I mean, we still talk about Stephen today and what he was willing to do. He even said, don't charge them with this, right? So I think that would be a great testimony for a Christian, somebody who's willing to lay down their life for Christ. And to be honest, I've never been put to that test. I don't know what I would do. I'd like to think that I would be willing to sacrifice myself for the cause of Christ because he died for me, right? I'd like to think, hey, I would do that. But not for 100 years or so, I think, okay? But I'm not quite ready. I got things I want to do. But we can all agree that these things are great qualities of a Christian, right? As a missionary, even just a human being. But great wisdom, faith to move mountains, being willing to take care of needy people, right? Being to help. And then even being willing to die for the cause of Christ. I don't see a lot of heads nodding. Are you all with me? We good? Yeah. That would all be great things, right? But I want to look at one more thing here. If you'll look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I want you to listen to these words in verse 2. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. So that's the knowledge, the wisdom that like Solomon had, right? What about, it goes on to say, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So even though we have this great wisdom or this charity, I mean faith to move mountains, without charity, I'm nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So we were all in agreement that those four things would be great things for a Christian to have, right? But without charity, they're nothing. Without charity, they're nothing. And how important is charity? Let's look at a few verses. We'll see how important charity is. Turn over to chapter 16 there in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. So do all these things. But in verse 14, then it says, let all your things be done with charity. So it lists a few good things, and it says, but let all your things be done with charity. Look in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I know we're using our Bible a lot, but I assume that's okay in church. Colossians chapter 3. I figure God says it better than I could say it anyway. So, Colossians chapter 3, we'll look in verse 20. I'm sorry, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Again, a whole list of great things that a Christian ought to do, a Christian ought to be. Look in verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. Above all these things, put on charity. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I don't know about you, but I'd say charity is pretty important as a Christian, right? As a Christian, I'd say charity is pretty important. And I only have one point today, okay? Everybody stood up and said, yeah. So, just kidding. One point today. You guys ready for it? Look in verse 4. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And verse 8, charity never faileth. That's my point. Right there, that's the title of my message. That's my one point. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. And to be honest, when I started thinking about this, I don't even know if you guys remember this, Dad and Brother Keith, but when I started thinking about this was at the staff retreat that we just had this past summer. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Keith invited me to go on the staff retreat this summer with the men, and we got to go down there, and we did a few fun things. Well, some might consider them fun. I'm not a big kayaker, is what I learned. That was not fun. Zip lining, I definitely enjoyed that. But while we were there, we got to hang out a little bit with Dr. Jim Fallure. I don't know if he's ever been here or his son, but Dr. Jim Fallure. We got to spend some time with him. He's a man who's served in the ministry for a very long time. And we got to learn some things from him. And I remember the first night we went out to the seafood restaurant, and Dr. Fallure joined us. And I don't know if I'm going to get the story completely right, so you guys can correct me after, all right? I remember Brother Keith was telling a story to Brother Fallure, and it was about a man that he had met out door knocking. And which I think is a great thing. I still think that works, even though a lot of churches are saying it doesn't work. I think we ought to keep door knocking. We ought to keep soul winning. And Brother Keith was telling about a story. He met this man out door knocking. And if I remember the story correctly, he used to be a pastor here in town. And But he just said, he said he couldn't believe anymore. That him and his wife, they used to believe, and they just couldn't believe anymore. And if I remember the story correctly again, I believe he said, thank you for telling people because we want people to believe. We just can't believe anymore. I really don't know how the rest of the conversation went there, but I remember my dad jumped in and he said, yeah, just a couple weeks ago, I actually was out door knocking and met the same man. He said, he had moved and we knocked on different doors and we met the same man. And same story, we just couldn't believe anymore is what he told him. I used to be a pastor here in town. But at this point, he had lost his wife. His wife drowned in a pool. But he still said the same things. We just can't believe anymore. I can't believe, and I'm glad you're out telling people, but I just can't believe personally. I think that's kind of how the story goes, I preach this a few times, so you guys should correct me if I'm wrong so I can tell it right next time. I remember we just kind of kept eating and moved on in our conversation. And then about an hour and a half later, we were back at the church, at the offices, my dad asked, I believe Brother Keith was off doing something, actually. My dad asked Brother Fallure, you know that situation we were talking about with the man that used to be the pastor, how would you deal with that situation? And Brother Fallure said, I've been thinking about that, in essence, he said, I don't know what I would say or what I would do, but all I could think about that situation was that charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. And ever since that time, God's put that on my heart that, you know, sometimes I might fail, but charity never does. So how is my charity? Is it doing all right, or am I failing it? But it's never going to fail, but I might fail it. So I ask you the same question, how is your charity? How is your charity? There was this girl, she was dating this guy, and she said, do you love me? And he said, of course I love you. She said, would you die for me? And he said, you know, mine is actually an undying love. And so he wouldn't die for her. So I'm not talking about that kind of charity, okay? And I'm not talking about the kind of charity giving your old clothes with holes in it to the Goodwill or to the orphanage, right? Or whatever. I'm not talking about that kind of charity. I'm talking about the best definition I could find for charity that somebody gave me was love in action. Love in action. There's a story in the Bible that goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You guys know that story, right? God so loved the world that he gave, right? He loved and he acted. And that's what charity is. It's love in action. And so I got a poem here actually about charity. What is charity? What is charity? It is silence when your words would hurt. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say it, right? If your words are going to hurt, just be silent. It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbors curt. It is deafness when a rumor grows. It is thoughtfulness for others' woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls, and it is courage when misfortune falls. I thought that was a pretty good definition of charity, right? Because we all have hard times, right? We all have hard times, and we want people to treat us that way, but then we don't always treat others that way. I know I'm preaching on charity, but I'm not trying to be some kind of rah-rah preacher, hey, let's love everybody, right? What I'm trying to get you to do is examine your life. Is your charity good enough? How is your charity doing? Because mine's not doing good enough. I've got to work on it. So how is yours doing? An example of charity, in the last few months, I don't remember exactly when, but driving the motorhome, I always have to have sunflower seeds and a soda. And I like the fountain sodas, not the bottled or the canned. I like the fountain sodas, right? And I've always got to have those two things or else I'm afraid I'm going to fall asleep and, I don't know, run into a big puddle or something. But I don't know. But I've always got to have those two things, and I was out of soda. And so we had to make an emergency stop at the gas station so I could get another soda. So we got off the exit. We were sitting there at the light to turn left and go over the overpass, over the interstate there. This lady... she was on one of those scooters, and she was trying to get up that hill on her scooter, and it was too steep. She couldn't make it, and so she was it had not enough power to get up the hill, and so she put her foot down and she was kind of scooting along, trying to push herself up the hill, and then she ran over her foot with the scooter, and so we just I was just stopping to get a soda, so we the light turned green and went over the overpass, and there was a gas station right there, and I pulled in. And normally, I don't know what was different this time. Normally, I would have gone in and got my soda, and I would have came back out, and I would have been on my merry way because I would have had soda and sunflower seeds again, and we would have been happy, right? But this time, for some reason, I decided, you know what? I sprinted back over the bridge, and I pushed that scooter and that lady, and I pushed her up over the hill. Why would somebody do that? Because of charity, right? That's love in action. I didn't know the lady. I'll never see her again, but that's love in action. And that's charity, and for one time, I got it right. Out of all the times I failed, that time I got it right. But why would somebody do that? Why would I take my time to do that? Because I realized that charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. And so why would somebody do something like, why would somebody go to the mission field? Why would somebody twice leave their home, give up all their possessions, move into, last time it was a car, this time at least it's bigger, it's a motorhome, and travel the country for a while just to raise money to go tell people about Jesus Christ who necessarily don't want to hear it, right? Why would somebody do that? Well, because it's not about me, but I can realize that charity never faileth, right? Charity never faileth. Why should you give to missions? And I can say this because I'm pretty sure my home church is going to support us when we go to the field, right? So I can talk about money here. Why should you guys give to missions, right? Because you realize that charity never faileth. That's why. Why should you go soul winning? Because charity never faileth. Why should you help whatever, why, throw in whatever's in your mind, throw it in there. Why should you do that? Not because you're some great person, although some of you are. All of you are. You're my home church. I should say all of you are. Not because of that, right? Not because it benefit you, but because you realize charity never faileth. Why in the world did God send his only begotten son to die on the cross for my sins and for yours? Because God knows that charity never faileth. You guys know that story? Let me rehash it for you a little bit. We sinned, right? We deserve to go to hell because of our sin. And God said, you know what? There's one way that I can allow you to go to heaven. One way. I can send my only son to die on the cross for you. Even though you sinned against me, I can do that. And you know what he chose to do? To do it. He chose to send his only begotten son to die on the cross because he knew that was the only way to save me. He knew that was the only way to save you from an eternity in hell and save you from your sins and allow you to go to heaven. You guys remember that story? That's the kind of charity we ought to have. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't give up my sons for any of you, at least most days. But God did. And he only had one. He gave him up for me, for you, to die, to suffer that cruel death that he died on the cross just because he loved us. That's love in action. That's what charity is, right? That's what charity is. And then we go to the store, we go to Walmart, and we buy all this stuff, and we say, hey, how you doing? And we don't even hand her a track when she's scanning our stuff. Right? Or we go to the restaurant and the waitress gave us a good meal and was kind to us and kept my soda cup full all the time, and I don't hand her a track. Right? Or Brother Keith says, hey, we're going to go help this family move, or we're going to go knock on these doors, or we're going to do this at the camp, and we don't do anything. Is that because charity's failing? Not at all. It's because we're failing. Right? I'm failing. I'm not going to blame you guys. I fail in this area. But I do know, I believe the Bible, and I do know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 it says, charity never faileth. So why don't I do it more? Why don't I show more charity? Why don't I tell my neighbor about Christ? Why don't I help my coworker get done with his work so he can go home and then maybe I can be a better witness to him? Why don't I do these things? I don't know, you got to answer your own question. I know why I don't do it. A lot of times laziness, a lot of times selfishness, a lot of times I'm tired, whatever the case may be. I know why I don't do it. But how is your charity? How is your charity? The thing about charity, here in closing, is that one day you're going to need charity as well, right? Because life's hard. Sometimes you're going to get stuck in the middle of a puddle and you're going to need somebody to give you a ride. And somebody to give you another ride, and somebody to give you another ride, and somebody to tow you out, right? Somebody to give you a place to stay. Sometimes that might happen. But why should I expect anybody to be showing me charity if I'm not willing to show it to others? Right? But you're going to need it one day. One day, probably you already have. But you're going to need charity. And if you've already received charity, which if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've already received the greatest charity you could get. How is your charity? How is your charity? Let's pray.